Let's get it underway. Hey folks, welcome to our Blue podcast. I'm your host, DJ Tyrant, talking everything Blue for the week, and sat down and chatted with you guys. And boy, we have quite a bit to talk about tonight. It's been quite the week for Blizzard and fans of Blizzard and people who don't like Blizzard. They've had a lot of fun this week, I'm sure. But yeah, briefly, what we're going to be talking about today, obviously the most pressing of the news, is Blizzard's getting itself entangled into this global controversy of socioeconomics, global economics, capitalism. All that stuff is entangled in this. And we're going to condense it as much as possible, but we'll get the facts, and then I'll give a little bit of my opinion on what transpired. Also, we had the BlizzCon virtual ticket goodies revealed. Most of them got revealed. Still a couple of secrets to be held. And is Heroes teasing what is coming at BlizzCon? And the round robin matches for Tespa. Also, could we see a Diablo Immortal release date? A couple leaks seem to think so, that it's coming very soon. Along with that other game that was announced at BlizzCon last year, Warcraft 3 Reforged. We have some news for you guys there, but here we go. Episode 2 of the Nexus. Like I said, we have a doozy of an episode. What was interesting about this is I wanted to make this episode Monday night before all the Hearthstone esports news truly broke. I was playing Overwatch with some friends on Twitch, twitch.tv/DJTyrant, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to check that out. But yeah, as soon as that broke, I was like, oh my gosh, do I still make this episode? And kind of when I was really thinking about it, kind of processing it on stream as it was going, I was really like, I need to let this kind of sit and let it play out a bit. Part of me wanted to really see if what kind of response Blizzard would have, and they did eventually respond on Friday night. So if you've been off the internet for a week and a half, you might have no clue what I'm talking about, but we'll just jump into it as condensed as I can get it. So, Hearthstone has their Grand Masters tournament. It's been going on in the ramp up to BlizzCon this last weekend. Player Ninghua Chung, I hope I pronounced that right, also known as BlitzChung, made a statement during his winner's interview in support of the Hong Kong protests that have been embroiled in that area for many, many years. I won't get into what all that entails and everything. If you are curious about any of that, please go look it up. There's a lot of information out there by reputable news sources. It's decades long of just political stuff, human rights issues, etc. I can't even begin to try to encompass that into this podcast, but if you want to be informed, check that out for sure. So after that statement, this prompted Blizzard to quickly try to scrub the video off the internet. They removed it from the Twitch broadcast archives, as everything that you broadcast is archived on Twitch automatically. They tried to just cut it off at the knees there. And of course, it got out and really spread like wildfire. And I think it was about 24 hours later, Blizzard came out with a statement handing down punishments to the player BlitzChung. He would be suspended for a year from Grandmaster's play, and they would be rescinding his prize winnings from the tournament. And the one that I think really lit a fire under people was the banning of the two casters indefinitely who facilitated the interview. Now, initially on face value, that really doesn't look good. But a couple of people did some digging, really digging into the VOD, and apparently, I don't know what language it was that the casters talked to Blitzchung, but they essentially prompted him to say the statement that he was going to say about Hong Kong, and that basically makes them a part of it. And I understand why they punish it. I don't necessarily agree with how long it was, especially for the casters. And yeah, it's really interesting because they base this off a ruling in the rule book for Hearthstone Grandmaster's play. And like most corporate culture in America, it's written in a way that the company can use to basically have an open book to punish anything. That unfortunately is just, that's not exclusive to Blizzard at all. That is something that happens in every large corporation in America. This news broke pretty late on Monday night. I want to say around 9-10 o'clock Pacific time. And this caused an immediate and loud response from the gaming community as a whole. And the next day, even multiple U.S. representatives, including Marco Rubio, tweeted out their displeasure with how this played out. And it just looked on the face to be a move to appease the Chinese audience and the government, as most people have found out if they didn't know before. Tencent is a Chinese gaming company, has a 5% ownership in Activision Blizzard, which is actually one of the smallest of their investments in gaming companies. A couple other examples, you look at Epic Games, creators of Fortnite, they have about a 40% stake in there. In Riot Games, they have a 100% stake in there. So take that for what you will. This isn't a minor thing. It goes very, very deep into the roots of gaming companies just in general. So obviously a very vocal section of the internet started calling for boycotts and started for canceling, deleting their Battle.net accounts and refusing to support the company further. Controversy completely spiraled out of control and Blizzard remained silent for the entire week. So Friday night, they made an official statement bringing all the punishments down to 6 months for both the casters and Blitzchung, also restoring the prize money Blitzchung earned for his play in Grandmasters. And I think if you haven't seen the statement from Blitzchung, I do actually want to read that for you guys as he responded to their response. And I think it got translated okay. For tournament pricing, I quoted what Blizzard said on the official website. They mentioned that I played fair in the tournament. I think no one's going to dismiss that. And they believe I should receive my pricing. This is the part I really appreciate. Blizzard also said that they understand for some this is not about the prize, perhaps for others it is disrespectful to even discuss it. People from Blizzard had explained this to me through a phone call, and I really appreciate that, and I accept their decision on this part. And I really respect Blizzard for reaching out to him and really talking about this with him. And it's been just a chaotic week for Blizzard fans, Blizzard, anyone who has any sort of like involvement in any Blizzard community is just absolutely dominated the conversation for the entire week, and probably rightfully so. I was very disappointed by their decision at first because it felt exceptionally harsh and overbearing. I think their revised changes to it are much better. And while not the exactly the same one-to-one, There was an instance about a year and a half ago, 2 years, well, okay, 2 years ago, I would say, where an HEC player was removed banned from play for a year, and obviously was not going to make any money because of that, because of some statements he made on Twitter, basically towards alt-right stuff, and no one complained about that. I'm just saying, I know it's not apples to oranges, but Blizzard had these rules in place, and unfortunately they have to enforce them for the rules to be valid. It sucks for everyone involved. Blizzard was put in a pretty nasty rock and a hard place because of how this was set up. And of course, still didn't make many people happy, and I've seen everyone still wanting to boycott Blizzard. That's their prerogative. And there's also this call for protesting at BlizzCon. I don't know how well that's going to go. The only thing I will say to that is if you are very, very serious about the China issue, I would really recommend talking to your representatives or organizing something, some sort of demonstration, make your voice heard at a Chinese consulate or something like that. Like, because like, Blizzard isn't going to be able to fix this. I'm sorry. We can be disappointed in them. We can be mad at them. You can boycott them all you want. That is fine. If that makes you feel better and makes you feel like you're absolving yourself from the sins of the global economy, that's fine. That's on you. Like I said, it's a complex story, much larger than Activision Blizzard, any one company. And this has been a problem that's been kind of brewing for a long time, and we've never really seen it come to this point. I mean, we've seen a couple stories come out just this past week or two, with both the NBA and Apple being pretty deeply embroiled in similar crises due to policies. And we're gonna have to see how this plays out going forward. I think this is a very, very serious issue, and I'm curious how Blizzard moves on from this, and how the community continues to react or poke at this problem, trying to make it worse, basically. That was kind of my thoughts, but I really want to quote a friend of mine. They will remain anonymous, but they had a really good statement that I feel like sums this up a little bit better than myself, and generally reflects my feelings on the matter. So this is their statement. This is a global problem Blizzard alone cannot tackle, because if they stood on principle, lose the Chinese market, it would rock the company to the point that they can't recover. Thousands of jobs will be lost around the world. Many of those jobs in highly competitive markets that are difficult to serve. Where does this leave Blizzard? I know most of the employees to be progressive thinkers, support democracy, care deeply about human rights. President of the company, J. Allen Brack, seems to share those feelings, although he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what do we do? Boycott Blizzard? If it makes you feel better about yourself, fine. It won't even come close to losing the same revenue they'd lose by getting cut off from the millions of players in China. The moral equivalent of switching to paper straws and sorting the recycling bin. If the games make you happy, if they enrich your life at all, you're being able to connect to players all over the world, keep playing. Tell a developer that you appreciate the love and devotion they put into the games, because seriously, the quest designer didn't vote in favor of human rights violations. They just want to make games that make people happy. But this opened your eyes all to how big of a deal this has become, how much influence the Chinese government has over not only the American economy, but also American jobs. Not stay silent. Go ahead and let Blizzard's leadership know how upset you are. Tell your House representative that you're concerned about China's power and vote for government leadership that cares about giving American companies a way to get out of China without completely collapsing. So that was my friend's statement, which I agree with, but I want to know, what is your opinion on the matter? You done with Blizzard as a company? Why are you listening to this podcast if you are? No, I'm kidding. But does a response address any of your concerns about this issue? Please feel free to tweet me your thoughts at DJ Tyrant with the hashtag Nexus Podcast, and we'll read some of your responses in a future episode. Ooh, but enough about how terrible the world is and the crossing of geopolitical policy into gaming. Talk about BlizzCon. BlizzCon is coming up in just a couple weeks. We have the BlizzCon virtual ticket come out with a ton of virtual items, with some of them available now. The virtual ticket is available for everyone who didn't pick up a ticket to attend in person. $50 will get you a ticket. It's expensive, but if I wasn't going, I feel like I would spend the money to watch it online. But that's because I care about pretty much every single franchise that Blizzard puts out. So, I mean, that's my take. If you're a fan of only one or two of the franchises, maybe that value just isn't there for you, and that's okay. It's a high price item. It is not cheap at all. I don't want anyone to think that it's cheap, because it's not. But anyways, what you get besides being able to watch the show, and I'm hoping, like last year, they have a lot of pre-convention content, because it was like 2 or 3 weeks before the show, they had a ton of video content hyping up stuff or reflections on the last year in games, and I would really like to see that come back. Also, I don't think they've announced who's hosting the virtual ticket. I am hoping that we do get Michelle Morrow again. She is great and fantastic. Malik most likely is doing it again. And I'd be interested who all the hosts are, who is emceeing the community night, and also who are the bands or bands. I had a lot of fun at Kristen Noir and Hodor last year. But yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, so all the goodies you get for your virtual ticket for in-game items. For World of Warcraft, there are 2 pets, one for Horde and one for Alliance. Anduin pet, so it looks like Anduin, but it's a Murloc. BlizzCon Murloc pets very much go hand in hand, so not a surprise there. Gilvanas pet, I think you know what that is. Sylvanas outfit on a Murky. There you go. And one of the more interesting, I think, items we've seen in a long time from Blizzard, we have the Wendigo Woolly Transmog outfit. It is basically a Wendigo onesie. It's wonderful. It's great. And those are all available in game right now when you pick up your virtual ticket. For Overwatch coming soon, I would think probably in the next week or two, we're going to get a patch and we should get these skins as well. We're getting some awesome crossover skins. We got the Sombra Demon Hunter last year. We're getting a Tyrande Symmetra skin and an Illidan Genji skin. So we've got some really cool stuff coming in. I'm excited to see how these play out. Some people complained about the crossover, but I am more than happy with Hearthstone. As is tradition, we kind of don't know what we're going to get, other than the fact that we are getting a BlizzCon 2019 card back and a Mystery Golden Legendary card for StarCraft 2. These are available right now. Classic Battlecruiser Terran unit skin, Classic Battlecruiser portrait, Classic Ultralisk Zerg unit skin, Classic Ultralisk portrait, Classic Carrier Protoss unit skin and Classic Carrier portrait. So, you know, the throwback a bit in StarCraft 2. Heroes of the Storm got some traditional items, as we usually see, or Heroes content coming out of the BlizzCon virtual ticket, but some of these have a little bit more of a sentimental value behind them. So we have a Celestial Deep Crawler mount. It's a crab. It's Celestial. It's cool. There's a BlizzCon 2019 spray and BlizzCon 2019 portrait that is a heart. A wonderfully designed heart. But what is so special about these is the spray and portrait are so sentimental to much of the community because they were designed by Lana B. Oscar, who both left Blizzard to work at Riot after the announcement of the cutbacks to Heroes. So that's kind of their final mark on the game. So we will miss their influence in Heroes, but I'm really interested to see what they do over at Riot, because they're both super talented. But their memory, as far as their career at Blizzard, will ever be enshrined in the game now. Oh, and one more thing. Diablo Wings are going to be available for all Diablo 3 players. Haven't been revealed, though. Kind of have to speculate, what in the world are they giving us? What are they announcing? Speculation is running wild, of course. So yeah, it's an exciting time to be a BlizzCon fan with the items. Oh, so much more. But move on to some World of Warcraft news, because there is a ton of it. Holy smokes, we have so much to go through. I am so excited for what they announced. This they actually announced this on Monday before all the drama came out. Yeah, 8.3 did get announced. It is currently on the PTR. It is titled I lost my for a second there. I closed the tab. But it is titled Visions of N'Zoth, a new zone, and N'Zoth as the final boss, as we expected. We're also seeing a ton of just minor stuff, if you want to look at it that way, getting added into the game. Heritage armor for Worgen and Goblin, who just got their new models in 8.5. New playable allied races with the Fulpera coming for the Horde. And they can be Hunters, Mage, Monks, Priests, Rogue, Shaman, Warlock, and Warrior. And Mechanomes coming for the Alliance. They can be Hunters, Mage, Monks, Priests, Rogues, Warlocks, and Warriors. So, yeah, I'm excited. These are some cool allied races. I think the Vulpera are a little bit better than the Mechanomes. But let me know what you think. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. Also detailed was a ton of auction house improvements, including improved search, being able to buy the number of items you want, no matter what the stack size is of sellers, favoriting items, and much, much more. Ian Hotsakostas in the video was talking about how much work had gone into lately, basically reprogrammed almost the entire auction house. How it operates, so hopefully it'll be a little bit better than if you've been actively playing. You remember start of Battle for Azeroth, it was quite the disaster as far as speed, but they also released some classic WoW news. If you are in to Classic and you're playing it in your max level, you'll be excited for this, as it can be Dire Maul going to be coming, and it's going to be coming very, very soon. Coming next week, October 15th. So by the time you listen to this, it might actually be pretty live. So it's getting pushed ahead of the release of Phase 2. Phase 2, we haven't released a date necessarily for that, but let's come out before the end of the year. They want to make sure everyone is play not layered on their servers, and so they are doing that. Really interesting. Lay out all that good stuff in Classic. Is the way they've rolled it out is they can roll up basically any content in any way they want. So stuff doesn't necessarily have to wait for other things to fall into place. But that's the WoW stuff. WoW has a lot of really good stuff right now, both Classic and for what we're going to call retail. I think that's what everyone has decided on. Retail is going to be the live version of the game. Also really interesting was they showed off that the Veil of Eternal Blossoms from Mists of Pandaria has been restored from the corruption that was enveloping the zone from when Garrosh had corrupted it. So, boy, there's good stuff, and all the new N'Zoth corruption stuff will be coming in game as well. So, man, there is a lot. It's impossible, I think, to have an just one episode here that covers everything. We didn't talk about Nyalotha. We did talk about Nyalotha, and since N'Zoth is the end boss, Nyalotha, 12 boss raid, N'Zoth final boss. And we're actually having something really cool. So they are taking a lot of the stuff that they learned in they saw that the community liked. Horrific Visions are new challenges that were inspired by the Mage Towers in designed for 1 to 5 players. To clear alternate versions of Orgrimmar and Stormwind, Rathion will be there to help you, and you'll power up a legendary cloak to improve your defenses against the old gods. And this cloak apparently will come in very handy when you fight N'Zoth. So, other things, assaults by N'Zoth minions on Titan facilities, Uldum and Veil of the Eternal Blossoms will be attacked by these assaults. As I mentioned, the Veil has been cleansed and restored to its original Mists of Pandaria appearance. And when an assault takes place, the entire zone is affected. Special treasures and content are available. With these assaults on Titan facilities, Titan Forge system might be replaced with something new. And I know a lot of players are like, oh, but and their eyebrow has been perked up quite a bit, because Titan Forge has been quite the bane of many, many players' experiences, and especially the hardcore Bleeding Edge content people I know are not huge fans of it. So we're going to have to see how that plays out. Obviously, more levels for the Heart of Azeroth, new essence slots, and more essences coming in 8.3, and a new Mythic Plus affix called N'Zoth Corrupted, Black Empire Obelisk that pull you in alternate reality and then port you out to your location, reach the alternate reality versus your original location, making for some very interesting skips. So that will be exciting, and I really hope that we do get to see some form of that in the Dungeon Invitational. Probably not at BlizzCon, but hopefully they have something after that includes this, because that'll be cool. And yeah, that's WoW content in as much of a nutshell as I can put, because that was a lot, and I haven't even covered, only scratched the surface of 8.0. Check out stuff like Wildhood, MMO Champion. They have all the nitty gritty details if you're wanting to dive a bit more into this. But let's talk about games that were announced at BlizzCon. There was a couple of games announced at BlizzCon, and there hasn't been much said about either of these games. In fact, there's been nothing said about Diablo Immortal since BlizzCon day one, or day two, I guess, really. But apparently we are now at the phase where we are getting leaks of what this game might be appearing on phones worldwide. The website d.163.com has a screenshot from the app Douyin that apparently says that Diablo Immortal will be out October 25th, Android and iOS devices. I would think that that's probably true. Have a brand new game playable right before BlizzCon and on devices that everyone, I know this is the meme, but everyone is going to have a phone that's capable of playing this game at BlizzCon, or at least 99% of people, and be able to link up with other players at BlizzCon. That's actually going to be a pretty cool experience, if you ask me. So I don't think October 25th is that far-fetched of an idea. So that'll be the Friday before BlizzCon. And generally, this is kind of how mobile games work. They're not usually announced to big fanfare like it was at BlizzCon last year. They kind of just come out. I mean, Nintendo's kind of been, I guess, a little bit different about that, announcing stuff like Mario Kart Tour and that finally coming out. But yeah, that's basically all the info we have on Diablo Immortal. I'm really interested to see it. I truly enjoyed playing it at BlizzCon last year. I mean, it's a Diablo game on the go. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. That said, though, they have to announce a new Diablo project, I think, to win the goodwill back of the community. Not even going back to the China stuff. But the other game that was announced, Warcraft 3 Reforged, it is actually hitting some sort of beta, because all sorts of data leaks, data mining have been coming out. As I'm recording this episode, there's actually a ton of stuff coming out. We're seeing all sorts of screenshots from inside the client. We're seeing all sorts of models. Wowhead.com has a ton of this stuff. We see a totally redone Brewfest or Brewmaster, and this is pretty impressive. This better and better, and I think we're coming up close on the release of this. I would suspect this to come probably in December. I think they have a legal obligation for this game to be out by December 31st, because they've sold pre-orders on it and taken people's money for it, and by law you have to release that by date that day. So that's that. And yeah, beta might be here at BlizzCon or slightly before BlizzCon, or maybe it's something they'll just announce during the keynote and be like, hey, everyone here, everyone on the virtual ticket, you get beta access to Warcraft 3 Reforged, which would be kind of cool. I mean, it's not earth shattering or anything, but that would be cool. I think that would be a small little for Blizzard to do. But the other talk a little bit of is the Heroes of the Storm. I know news has been scarce, but it does look like there are hints of what might be coming in their BlizzCon announcements for Heroes of the Storm, as we have seen now that load up Dragonshire before the game gets started. The map shakes like the world is shaking, and just what character could a world breaker, a world shaker? Well, I think it's pretty easy to say it's probably Deathwing. I know it's become a meme at this point, but we'll have to see if that in fact is true. I would think that they would hold off on a big announcement like that, of course, still on, to inject a little bit of life into Heroes of the Storm. But the other kind of big news, if you haven't been keeping up with any sort of competitive Heroes, TESPA has completed their round robin play for the TESPA Cup for Heroes of the Storm. I've caught a little bit here and there. Jayhao and Bahamut have been awesome through the casting. It's been really good to see some high level Heroes of the Storm play. Obviously, it doesn't replace HD, but it is something there. As well as Heroes Hype is in the middle of the week as well. Follow Bahamut Gaming. He does a great job covering the hero scene and that banner going, keeping it going. And it's really good to see. So yeah, I think we're through this week's news. There's been a lot of drama, a lot of stress, a lot of crazy stuff going on. But talk a little bit about BlizzCon, what I'll be doing there. So I'll be attending BlizzCon. I'll be there Wednesday for BrewCon. If you don't know what that is, make sure to follow me on Twitter. Details haven't really been announced yet for that, but if you like craft beer, hanging out with Blizzard people, make sure to come if you can, if you're on there on Wednesday. Kind of run all over Orange County. It's a lot of fun. Good time for all. And then on that night, we'll also be DitchCon at the Hilton, put on by a really great group of people. And as well, Sam, he always puts a great, great party together. And there's this picture of me after they kicked everyone out because it was over, of me and Sam and Taliesin and Evitel, and it was great. It was a fun little moment. I might post it on Twitter as like a throwback picture this weekend or this week. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I highly recommend if you're in town on Wednesday night, check it out. I do not recommend it if you're not into the kind of club vibe of things. It does get a little bit rowdy. It's loud, it's obnoxious, it's fun. It is what it is. Thursday will be badge pickup day. I'll just be hanging around the area the entire time and prepping for hanging out at World of Podcasts / Wowhead Party, now combined, which I'm thankful for, that we finally have just one giant party instead of two giant parties that I have to jump in between. So yeah, we'll be there. My girlfriend and I, just a heads up, we'll probably be giving some stuff away there, depending on if I spot a spot in the meet and greet, plus floating around there. And then Friday is the show, and I'll be covering everything I can for it. I'm going to be making probably a lot of videos this year, since I am going solo this year and not as a part of BlizzPro. So it will be very interesting how the content comes out, and Blizzard kind of trusting this is a solo content creator to do. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm excited for BlizzCon. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of announcements and a lot of things to cover, and it's going to be a very busy, very exciting year for Blizzard fans. I think controversies will be minimal. I think they'll be a little overblown, because right now everyone's still very, very fired up about everything. So we'll have to see. It'll happen. It'll be what it is, and that's okay. That's life. And yeah, I don't have anything else written down for this show, because so much just prepared just for that controversy. But once again, this has been the Nexus. Sure to subscribe on Anchor or any other podcast platform that you listen to your podcasts on, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, listen to me on your Echo devices, etc. All that good stuff. But again, I apologize for the lack of episode. Trying to get into a little bit of a rhythm, and Sunday nights will be, I record these going forward, so you have something to listen to on Monday morning to get you caught up on all the Blizzard. So that is what we will be doing going forward. Look forward to a lot of extra content coming BlizzCon. Do a couple episodes kind of covering past BlizzCons and those announcements and vibe at the conventions. But until then, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/tyrant. Follow me on Twitch if you're interested in stream, twitch.tv/atyrant. Stream Monday through Thursdays, 7 p.m. Pacific. Mostly stream Blizzard games, but Thursdays, that is with a lot of the old crew from Heroes Power Hour. So make sure to check that out. And we'll see you next time for the Nexus.